At the time of the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem, it was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Father, thank you for sending your Son to die for our sins. He was buried, and he rose on the third day. He appeared to more than 500 people. He ascended into heaven to be at your right hand, where he intercedes on our behalf. Before he left, he called us to go and to live by faith and to make disciples. I pray, Father, that something would be said from your word, that we could hear your voice tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So what do you guys know about sheep? I hope there's no sheep farmers here, because I'm not sure this is all 100% right. I actually read some new articles that sheep are smarter. Okay, we'll have you kind of clean up anything that I say here. But sheep are smarter than they get credit for, okay? There are some things that are very true about sheep. One thing is that they actually can identify a face, recognize it. Like, they can remember a face, which is interesting if you think spiritually along the lines of God created us to be face-to-face. But there's other things about sheep, like if they get stuck on their back, they can't get up. I mean, you've probably seen the YouTube videos. Maybe not. I hadn't until I actually started looking this up. But it's not really funny, but it's kind of funny, them stuck on their back, and they will actually, some of them actually just die. They cannot get up. But the most sad thing about a sheep is they will follow each other to slaughter. Let me read this article. It was in the AP, and it's from Istanbul, Turkey. It says, "First one sheep jumped to its death, then stunned Turkish shepherds who had left their herd to graze while they had breakfast." That was a bad mistake by those guys. "Who had left their herd to graze while they had breakfast, watched as nearly 15 others followed, each leaping off the same cliff," Turkish media reported. "At the end, 450 dead animals lay on the top of one another in a billowy white pile. Those who jumped later were saved as the pile got higher and the fall more cushioned. There's nothing we can do. They're all wasted," Nevzat Beyhan says. "It affected 26 families. It cost over $100,000, and every family averaged around 20 sheep that were lost." I think about sheep following. Like, that is a big characteristic of a sheep. But I think the main thing that a sheep does is they know the shepherd's voice. Watch this video with me.
One more time.
Are you? Cool.
Boom! Yeah.
Look at them. Look at them.
This scared them.
Yeah, Eunice made him go away.
Don't you love the sheep that just... And there was one actually doing number two over there. I don't know if you noticed that. But the thing about the sheep is they heard their shepherd's voice and they responded. I love this verse. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. There are three things that are true of Jesus' sheep. That's you. They hear Jesus' voice. Jesus knows them. They follow Jesus. Sometimes it just simply takes a friend to get us on track. I had a conversation while we were in Thailand with a missionary friend who's the best man in my wedding. My heart's still a little fragile. I'm trying to digest everything that took place in my own heart. So this is really based on a lot of things that are like going on presently in my life. But the question that I keep asking myself is, am I listening? Because I am his sheep. I hear his voice. I can hear his voice. You are his sheep. You can hear his voice. He is your shepherd. You follow him. That's just the way it is. That's how it's supposed to work. Like, we're supposed to hear his voice, and we're supposed to follow whatever he says. I mean, our ears are supposed to be open, and it's supposed to make complete sense that we do whatever he says to save us. I mean, just to reiterate, this is not like my own words. In the Greek, it's actually written like the sheep of me, Jesus is speaking. The voice of me, they hear. They hear. So the sheep of Jesus, Jesus' sheep, hear the voice of Jesus, Jesus' voice. Paul describes it this way. I'm going to give it to you in a couple different ways. In him... In Ephesians says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge for our inheritance with the view of redemption of God's own possession to the praise of him. The point is, the Holy Spirit was given to us before Jesus left the earth. The Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, is in us. Again, his sheep hear his voice. The voice is there in you. The voice is right inside of you. I love the word sealed. It's actually used in Ephesians 4 as well. We cannot get any more of the Holy Spirit. That's not what this talk is about. This is about the Spirit being in you. You have all the Holy Spirit. John's Gospel speaks of it this way. He says, Jesus, I have many more things to say to you, but you can't bear them right now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. It says, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose it to you what to come. The Holy Spirit that is in you, sealed, it's not going to leave. You're not going to get any more, but it's not going to leave. He is there. He is speaking to you. He will disclose to you what will come. God is speaking to us. He is speaking to his sheep. He's speaking to you right now. If you are his sheep, you hear his voice. I'm going to keep sharing it in different ways. Here, God is speaking to his sheep. God is holy. by speaking to us. Whoops. Let me give you this slide. Did I pass it? May have passed it. There we go. Here's what's true of God, the God that is in you. God is holy. By speaking to us, God gives us the power to become holy. God is absolute truth. By speaking to us, God's truth seeks to set us free. God is righteous. By speaking to us, God helps us live righteously. God is just. God's justice works in our for our good. God is love. By speaking to us, God helps us spread his love. God is merciful. By speaking to us, God expects us to extend mercy. God is faithful. By speaking to us, he enables us to be faithful. God never changes. And by speaking to us, God gives us rest in him. All these things about God are spoken to you by the Holy Spirit right now. God's very nature is speaking to us all the time because the Spirit of the living God is in you. So I asked my question, the question Kelly and I were chewing on the way back from Thailand. We were there about 17 years ago, and the Christian population was about 0.5%. Right now, the Christian population in Thailand is 0.5%. America, almost everything you can look at, churches are dying. Christianity is dying a slow death. What's happening? Missiologists describe it sometimes like this. I don't know what that slide is, but we'll get to it. Christianity has no cost in America. We've made it a way to be easy to be born again, perhaps much easier than Jesus intended. When we do get to the point at which we accept smaller numbers of intensely devoted people rather than feverishly investing in filling auditoriums and stadiums with massive numbers of lukewarm Christians that Jesus promised to spew from his mouth, do you honestly believe that our big churches and highly visible Christian leaders have brought about a movement that is taken seriously in this country? We feel we are making a difference because we are so important to ourselves. Oh, man. We have created a phenomenal subculture with our own media, entertainment, educational system, and political hierarchy so that we have the sense that we're doing a lot. But what we've really done is create a ghetto that is easily dismissed by the rest of our society. The American church has created a sense of doing a lot, but not because we heard Christ's voice, the shepherd telling us to do it. I am busy doing my own work, not listening to his voice and following it moment by moment. I could give you excuses. I could say I'm distracted. I'm saying I'm a parent. I need to make my kids first. But am I walking through the day actually listening to his voice and following it? Kelly and I call this like we want to live a ministry of presence. Right now, him speaking to me, doing whatever he says. If we're listening to his voice, we would hear these things. You were created to be my disciple. Abide in me and go make other disciples who abide in me. Before Jesus left the earth, ascended into heaven, and sat at the right hand of the Father, he gave us his last words. He stood before his disciples, which included us, and he said, therefore, go. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And in Acts, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. They did it. If you look at Acts, they went to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But it wasn't difficult for them to understand because they were listening. Their hearts were connected to his. They were like sheep listening to the shepherd to go. Most of them died for this commandment. They were martyred. It wasn't an option then. It's not an option now either. But somehow, it's moved its way down the list of what it means to be a Christian. He's calling you at your workplace or your school or your neighborhood to go and make disciples. That's just who he is. That's what his sheep do. If you want to be a disciple and make disciples, you've come to the right place. This church, our passion is to make disciples, and we're moving toward that vision. However, you don't become a car by standing in a garage, just like you don't become a disciple or a disciple maker by sitting on that pew. I love you, but that's the truth. Like, there has to be a pursuit of Christ and a pursuit of being discipled. That was the system he made. Or otherwise, he would have taken the 5,000 and he would have empowered all those people, fed them and said, guess what? You've got the supernatural power. Just go touch people and they will become disciples, like every movie that's made now. It's not that way. It's about you and I investing in people. You will have to pursue his voice, because what I believe is that he is saying this to you already. It's not that this is my words. Like, his words are in there, and they're actually communicating these things to you. They're actually, you're longing to do this. You're longing to open your heart, and you're longing to be this kind of disciple who goes and makes disciples. We're going to have options in this church through the men's and women's ministry to actually help make you disciples. And we'll talk about that later. But let's just focus on what a disciple is. By definition, a disciple is a follower. It's like a sheep. Sheep follow. Jesus called his disciples to make disciples. Here's what discipleship is not. Discipleship is not Christian education. Not simply the implanting of information for the sake of knowledge. It's not cookies and punch either. It's not fellowship. You know, fellowship takes place here. We're actually supposed to do discipleship out there, where we live, in our neighborhoods, and at our workplace. It's not scripture memorization. I use that just as one example. Scripture memorization is great. Oh, man, if I could just do more of it. But that's not discipleship. It may include it, but it's not the crux. Here's what I think discipleship is. It's the Great Commission. It's making disciples. It's doing what Jesus did. He had 12 men. He poured his heart and life into them. It's parenting, not to mother the mentee or the disciple, but to invest your life in them. Paul described himself as a spiritual father. It's multiplication through reproduction. Now, we got one part of that, the physical reproduction, going well in this church. Now, just think if we could match it with spiritual multiplication, where each one of us, I'd take 5 of you by Christmas, having multiplied one person. Wouldn't that be amazing? Jesus continued to call his disciples. I just want to show you the progression Jesus used in the book of John. We are studying John, but I've asked if the men that come on Tuesday morning, I've said, hey, let's read through John as many times as we can. And as I've read it, I want you to pick up on this with me. He began by calling them to come and see. In John 1, he says, Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, what are you saying? He said to them, come and you will see. Like, it wasn't a pressure. It was just say, hey, come with me. I want to show you. You'll see. He called his disciples also to come and to follow. In Luke 5, it says, they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled their nets, filled both the boats. And they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch. Also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Jesus also called his disciples to come and to surrender in Matthew 8. And calling the crowd to him and his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." And then, as we've shared already, Jesus called his disciples to come and multiply. If you're here on Sunday, Marvin spoke on authority. It's really critical to get verse 18. Often, even as I did earlier, I just went to 19, the command. But Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And at the end of it, he says, "And I will be with you always." Let me ask you, why does he say he's been given the authority, but it's us who are going? He's given us his authority. He left, as we've said probably here before, but I've said it for 25 years. This is plan A. Plan A is Jesus gave us his authority to go make disciples, gave us his power through the Holy Spirit as well. He said he'd be with us, but he gave us his authority to go make disciples. And then he left. So it's up to us. Plan B is, well, there's not a plan B. That was it. It's plan A. Plan A is you and I going make disciples. That's it. It doesn't make sense when there's social media now and there's so many ways we can communicate. But it's still up to us. As we abide, fruit will be produced. And I believe it's this fruit, that his authority will make disciples, that will make disciples, that will make disciples. If you could look back from the person, some Sunday school teacher or some pastor or some man on the street or some stranger in a busy cafeteria at the University of Oklahoma who told you about Jesus and you accepted him. Someone led him to Christ. Someone led him to Christ. Someone led him to Christ. And it will go all the way back to these faithful men who gave their lives for this commission. So I'm just going to ask you to start with me tonight. I know this is going to be really strange. We're going to go out on the street. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. See, I started out really weird, so it's actually going to be really easy. I'm just going to ask you to go. I mean, I'm one of the pastors here. You can choose to listen to the other two and X me out. Or you can say, maybe Jesus wants me to hear this. But I want you to go and disciple. I want you to pray for conviction and vision. For faithful, ready disciples, he wants you to disciple. I want you to select one person or two, maybe from the missional community. Look around just for a second, and you'll see not everybody's here. Did you notice that? I notice not everybody's here tonight. And I say that because there are a lot of people in this church that would love the understanding of how to abide, how to begin a relationship with their loving Father. We'll get to that in a minute. Meet and ask them to grab some coffee, this person that God's put in your mind. Take them through an understanding of abiding. So Kelly and I, literally, I've been discipling people since 1985. And I know Todd has been discipling people probably twice as long because he's twice as old as I am. I'm just kidding. I'm older than he is. But through discipling, I've realized, like, why do you want to start at abiding? First of all, I would say, because our culture, this culture, especially in Oklahoma, we need to show an authentic representation of a Jesus follower, not a churchgoer. Number one, someone who literally has a dynamic relationship with God, who loves them, that is connected with him and living present with him. And then secondly, I'd say, because he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So let's just go with scripture memorization. I'm picking on it already. Guess what? Apart from abiding relationship with Jesus, you're not going to do it. Not my words. It's not going to be that healthy for you, or it may not be that fruitful, because you're not connected to the source, Jesus. So apart from him, we need to start at the baseline, and that is to connect with Jesus. And then I'd say, trust God that it will continue from that one meeting. Okay, now I just want to pause, and I want to say that this whole thing that's wrestling in my soul is the faith thing. It's something that has to do with faith in me. Like, am I really believing in Jesus? Like, am I really trusting him? Not just living it where you guys look at me and think that I am, but am I really trusting Jesus? Because all of this starts with faith, every bit of it. And faith doesn't grow unless you actually exercise it. So faith, I just recently, I've just been trying to listen. I've been trying to live moment by moment. As he tells me something, I go do it. Jonathan and I went to a conference about two, three weeks ago. It was a retreat that I was leading, okay? It started at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in San Antonio. We were leaving that morning, got a text saying our plane was going to be late. Our plane kept being late. So I ended up having to text him saying, hey, I'm not getting in until 9 p.m. You guys just do something else until we get there. And, you know, we were frustrated. And it's like, what is going on here? It's like, this was a, you know, we're only there for a couple days. It's eaten into our time. And so with Southwest Airlines, you know, we had the A-list, which we felt really good about, you know, that we got to be, even though it was like A, whatever the last number is, we were A. But because of our flight change, we got C, which we all know stands for center, right? You're the center seat. And so I'm just going, what's going on? Lord, you know, just show me what's happening. I just chose the first seat that was open. Literally, I just go, I'm just going to sit in the first seat that's open in the middle. So I sat there. The lady next to me was kind of looking out the window. The guy to the right of me was actually watching a movie, totally focused on his movie. Just barely got out of the way so I could sit down. And immediately when I sat down, I felt, I go, the Lord said to me, pray out loud for this lady next to me. Pray out loud. And I go, oh boy. So fortunately, the plane noise was going, but I did it. You know, I was praying out loud. You know, the guy next to me looked at me one time. But it wasn't weird. But I was just praying for this lady. And as soon as I start praying for her, I can't explain this, but her whole body, she just started flailing around like this. I mean, it was just the strangest thing. So I started praying more. Just started praying a little bit louder, a little bit more aggressively. The guy next to me puts his thing down, just starts looking at her, looking like a little freaked out, but she just like starts doing this. Now, I'm not like there's a demon on every corner and all that stuff. But I do sense that there was something spiritual going on at that point with this lady, and I don't know what was happening, but I had had my notes on my lap, and it had about what I was speaking on the next day. And she, so what happened was, I'm praying, and I could tell she stopped her moving, and she just turned and was looking straight at me. And so what I did was I just turned to her. I didn't know what to say. I go, hey. And she just smiled, and then she went back to, like, and then she stopped, and she looked at me, and she said, what are you doing? And I just kind of followed what God had already trained me to do, share about Jesus. Like, because of Gary Runn implanting in me a passion to tell people about Jesus. I said, I'm a pastor, and I know this may not make sense, but I've been praying for you. And she started bawling, like weeping. Like, people around were, at that point, like, it was beginning to be a little bit of a show. And she said, I'm going back to San Antonio for the first time in 15 months because I left because my husband, who's been arrested, tried to kill me. I have a son here who's very close to his dad. I mean, she went through everything with this complete stranger, weeping, saying, what do I do? What do I do? And, you know, I just was able to tell her about Jesus and walk her to the Savior and tell her that there, apart from Jesus, you're not going to get through this. And I shared that passage in John 15. But the presence of the Holy Spirit, he is speaking to us. And I can say there have been several things since then, just trying to engage in what he is saying to me right now and living it out by faith. Good, we have a few minutes. So here's what I want to do tonight. And I'm going to ask you, like I said, Kelly and I are going to train during our men's and women's Bible study, how to use just this easy little guideline or Bible study, if you want to call it that, on how to get someone engaged in looking at what John 15 says, like how to abide in Christ, and get them to start thinking what that word means and how we should live it out. And I just want to engage you right now and ask you to practice the hardest part. In my opinion, the hardest part isn't sharing about John 15. It's not sharing about what you already know and what you're doing. The hardest part is just inviting somebody to grab coffee, right? So this can be a little awkward, but just the person next to you, I want you to practice what you would say, and I'm going to share with you what I would say. Because what I'm going to ask you to do, you're going, why did we come tonight? Because the other people that didn't come, they're not going to have to do this. You don't have to do this. I'm just asking you to do it with me. But I want to ask you to invite someone to coffee and share with them that you would like to get together with them to tell them about your relationship with God in whatever way you want to say it, whatever capacity you want to do it. And we have a study where you could meet them four times if you wanted to. Like, you could do this you could meet the first time, they go, man, I needed this. Can we meet again? You said, yeah, absolutely we can. I've got something else. I've got something else that would help you understand what this means. But you guys, if we don't start moving forward, if you just walk out of here with some, you know, more intellect on what you know to be true and not do anything, Christmas will be here and we won't have made any disciples. So I'm asking you, will someone come with me? Kelly? Okay, thank you. Kelly's with me. But this is like an easy-to-use, like, Bible study, looking at what it means. And but the hardest part, like I said, is someone at work, I want you to imagine someone at work, someone in your neighborhood, someone in your missional community, someone in this church who's, these can be Christians, but they're really not, their dynamic faith is not on high. You know, They haven't captured the true meaning of abiding, like connecting their heart to Jesus. So it's okay if it's somebody here, please. But what I would ask you to do is just simply walk them through what it means to you. And here's what I would say to somebody. I mean, this is just, I wrote this in 5 minutes this afternoon. Could we sit down over coffee? I would love the opportunity to tell you why I go to church, read the Bible, etc., whatever you want to say there. There is a Bible verse that tells us, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. This verse has changed my life. I'd love 30 minutes to share what that means to me. If you want to keep talking, we can continue to meet and discuss it more. Please don't feel any pressure. Honestly, you don't have to do this. But here's the thing, the reason why I brought up faith. Because if we believe that God will give us the person, if we believe that they will listen, if we believe that they will become a disciple, then they're going to want to keep meeting with you. Because they were created to follow him. They were created to be a sheep and follow their shepherd. So take a minute right now and just look at the person next to you and either act like you're talking, but practice what you might say. You've got about 3 minutes. Practice what you might say to somebody or share your own thoughts on how you'd invite somebody to get together for this, right? Okay, wrap it up. So this verse I hope has taken on new meaning for you. Like I hope that you walk away tonight with a real passion, like in my heart, I know he actually speaks to me. He's speaking to you all the time. And that you can hear his voice. And I'm praying that you will actually listen to whatever he said tonight. I hope it's that you know that you're his disciple and that you will go and make a disciple by Christmas. But if it's not, I hope it's whatever it is that you will follow through. I know the difference. Like I looked up this word and I didn't have enough time to actually figure out the difference. It literally in the Greek, hear and listen, that word were the same. I know when my son is hearing me because he's staring at me kind of like you are, Mike, just glazed over. I'm just kidding. He's staring at me, literally, eyes not blinking, but acting like he's like totally engaged, like glazed over, like this. And, you know, I just keep talking. But I do know when he's listening. You know, it's just, you just know when he's listening. You can feel the connection. Like there's something happening. But I really don't know if he's listening unless he walks away and he does what I said. Right? Father, I pray that whatever you're saying to my friends in this room, I love them. You know that I'm not going to guard over their shoulder and make sure that they go make disciples. But Lord, I know that you're speaking to them. That verse is just as real to them as it is me. And that you said that you were given authority, but you gave us the authority to go and make disciples. I just pray, Father, that some of us in this room, if not all of us, Lord, would start making disciples. That it wouldn't just be for the hired hands, people like me who are on staff at churches, that it would be the people that are working in the industries of the city so that we could see the renewal of all things come true here in Oklahoma, in the education department, in the business sector, in the arts, in every part, Lord, may you raise up your disciples. Lord, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you that we're your sheep. Lord, speak, and may we obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.